Blog Talk Radio.
Relationships, and Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hello, darling. How are you?
Good. And remember, we don't have a show next week because it's Thanksgiving.
Nope. Yes, so, ma'am.
So just keep that in mind, everybody. So, you know, Nicole gets a week off, and I get a week off. Okay. All righty then. So how are you? Is your week going well?
Yes, it's going well. I actually spoke to my boss this week, and he's going to try to have me working again by Monday. So we'll see what happens there. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that all will go according to plan.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. And, you have some mixed feelings about going back, right, at this point?
I do, because you know what? Like I said, I really want to be working for myself, and I've been putting in a lot of work, in these months. And since, as we've been saying on the show, Cindy, that, it's the year of the dream catcher and things like that, so my dream catcher year starts on my birthday. So all of the work that I've been doing is going to come to fruition, and I'm going to launch, my website and, all my products and everything on my birthday to start the year
off on the right foot.
Okay, what
date is that so we can all know what day we launch you off?
That is going to be December 2nd, December 2nd.
Wow.
So, that's when everything is going to go live, and I'm going to have journals on Amazon. I'm going to have sketchbooks available on Amazon. I'm going to be doing, mugs and tumblers and T-shirts of all different kinds, kinds of things and things like that. And that's going to be available on Etsy, my personal website. My regular artwork is available for sale on my regular website. That's going to be all updated by then as well. So there's a lot of stuff in the works. And like I said, it's going to be, continually growing. I'm not, I'm just going to keep creating and keep, putting out new things every week. But I'm just launching everything all at once on the first day of my dream catcher year. So that's kind of exciting. And I'm just kind of trying to get everything done. And, I need to go back to work for the money, but I really, really hope that by the end of my dream catcher year, like I said, I'll be hopefully earning enough to be working for myself with maybe like another part-time job doing something else, because I know that these days, especially in New York, you gotta work multiple places, unfortunately, sometimes, I think it's a good goal, I start making enough where I can do something else part-time that's a little bit less taxing on me, my health, my mental health, and things like that. But for right now, gotta go where the money is, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I can get back and I can start banking again.
Okay, well, it looks good here, so, that's good. We wanted to hear that with, that's your story, and that's really great. So I'm glad, I think everybody's glad the strike is over. I mean, people pay all this money for their, cable shows, and there's, nothing on, You know what I mean? It's like,
yep. You're going to start seeing some American movies appear on Netflix. They're going to start getting rid of some of the foreign stuff that's been out there, because that's all the new content that they can put out is, foreign, because obviously the Americans couldn't work, so.
Yep, it's time to get back to, the stories that we like to watch on television. So
exactly.
We do, a lot of listeners Can you tell people what they have to do if they want to talk to us?
Yes, ma'am. If you would like to speak to myself or Cindy, you will need to press the number 1. This way I will get the alert that allows me to pull you into the chat room so that I can screen your call. As usual, we do not screen the first caller, and just so that everybody is aware, I will always identify callers that I don't know by the last 4 digits of their phone number. So when you hear the last 4 digits of your number, please answer us so that this way we are not talking to ourselves. And right now, I guess, Cindy, we'll jump right into it. We'll go to the person that's been on hold the longest. The last 4 digits of your phone number are 2143. We hope that they're not nuts. We're going to keep our fingers crossed. And we're going to take them first. And provided that they're A-OK, Cindy, then I'm going to jump into the chat room and screen our next caller. So for now, we're going to go out to 2143, and we're going to see who's waiting for us there.
Hi.
Hello, 2143. You were on the air.
Hi, my name is Sharon. I'm from Minnesota.
Hi,
hello, Sharon,
Sharon from Minnesota. That's a long way away. How are you doing in Minnesota?
Oh, we're doing okay. It's actually nice weather here right now.
Oh, good. Oh, that's what we like to hear. And, you know, you must have something on your mind because you were waiting a while, you know, came on early. So is there something you need some guidance on?
Yes. There's in my home, I have a walk-in closet off my bedroom, and there seems to be an entity. Well, there is an entity there, and one time I saw him and asked what he was doing.
Now, does it look like, is it someone you recognize?
No.
Okay.
It's not.
Okay, now, and is it something that, is it scary to you?
A little. It's a little, yes, a little. I try to say, you know, prayers, but it seems to still be there.
Okay, so, you know, can, normally, you know, we can ask these beings to leave, and if they don't leave, you can start asking your spirit guides, you know, to kind of take it out of there for you, because I think if you've been asking and it hasn't left, you know, have you asked any spirit to help you, any of your spirit guides?
Archangel Michael.
Okay, good. And and I would also, maybe ask one of your family on the other side. Have you consulted any of them on the other side?
No.
Like your mom or anything? Have you asked your mom on the other side to help?
No, I haven't.
Okay, because sometimes they can help a lot too. I don't think you have anything to fear with it. You know what I mean? The spirit can't hurt you. How long has this been in there for you?
A couple years, 2 years maybe.
And you haven't been able to get out of there yet?
No.
Boy. Again, I think you better call in, like, your own family members because from the other side because they can help. Sometimes does it seem like a younger soul to you?
No.
It doesn't seem like a teenager or anything like that?
No, it seems like a mature...
Kind of.
I think it's masking itself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think it appears to be like a mature male entity.
Right. And that, I mean, I asked your mom on the other side if this is a family member, and she said no.
Okay.
I got that. Nope. And the point is, at this point I would say, let's get, spirit on the other side to try to get this thing out of there. Does it disturb you a lot?
It just seems like it's just always lurking there,
Yeah, I know. I mean, it can't hurt you in any way, at all. So it's just annoying. And you have a son who's passed, right? A young son?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
it has nothing to do with your son, okay? Because, you know, your son is a pleasant spirit when he's around. Do you sense him around you at times?
Yes, I do.
Right. He's a pleasant spirit. This one is not family. You know what it is? You're a little bit psychic yourself. Like, not everybody could sense this entity, okay? Because, you know, there's plenty of them roaming around. Most people can't. Probably is that you sense it, and they're a little bit annoying, these people. So, you know, these beings, they like to sense. I don't even think this is a soul that's really crossed. This is not one that's crossed over. That's what's annoying about it. It's a little bit of dense energy. It's more like a poltergeist, okay? And sometimes these people cross over because they're afraid of their life of you. They don't want to go necessarily. And they like to hang where people can actually sense them, because most people cannot at all. So you realize you're psychic.
I wasn't sure.
No, because you would, this is the kind, you know, most people cannot sense a poltergeist at all. You have to have a ability to. And then once they find, so I was, the reason I was asking was, you know, do you think he was young? Because sometimes young people that die of overdoses or drug dealers and stuff, they love to just hang out on Earth.
Yeah.
And usually will bug. Like, I have one client who's very psychic, and she's older, in her 80s, and they all seem to come to her. You know what I mean? And I said, that's because you see them. I would advise, you know, in her case, and it stopped since I told her, just don't even acknowledge them. They don't know that, they can't tell that you don't, you know, if you're acting like they're there and you know they're there, they're going to bother you. If you don't acknowledge it, go away. So you might want to not acknowledge the being for a while.
Okay.
As if you don't see it, okay? Because if you've been asked to go and it doesn't go, it's not going to go on your on your wish.
There was one other thing I was going to mention. It has like a singing bowl tone, like.
Oh, really annoying. Just genuinely really annoying, okay? they like to, like, you know, some of these, they just, it's as good as it gets down here. They don't want to go to the other side. So they, like, were not good people on Earth. I don't think the person was really bad by any means, okay? Just annoying human being that probably nobody liked, because it's an annoying soul is what your mom said. She said she's shooed it away a few times. It just goes away and then comes back. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But just this time, ask your mom to really, you know, see if she can't get some of your spirit guides to permanently block the being from coming around. Because it's a free will universe. They can't stop it from being, but they can just stop it from coming in your house and then maybe go bother somebody else. You know?
Okay.
It's just awful, these creatures, you know, whatever you want to call them. I call them, like, creatures because they're so annoying. But I wouldn't worry. There's no potential to hurt you. You know, it's just annoying. So, you know, you are psychic. And is there anyone else in your household who hears this or sees it?
Yes, my daughter.
Okay. So, again, it's because the both of you are psychic and can feel it and hear it. So just don't give it any acknowledgement. Call in again and let us know if you're just ignoring it, if it goes away. And also, I think your mom calling her in would be helpful, you know, because she'll protect it a little bit. I'm glad you called in, because that's an interesting one, because, you know, I do have clients that have these things. And, again, it's always people that have some psychic ability, you know, because they are always around. I mean, all the time. Just most of the time we're just not aware of them.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, good luck to you. Thank you for calling in. Have a great Thanksgiving. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you. You too. Bye.
Okie dokie. Now, who else have you screened?
Well, next we have Emily. And Emily
is in
Florida. What's that?
I love Emily.
Well, Emily is
and
calling.
Emily just had a birthday, too. She just had a birthday, Emily.
Very nice.
She's in her year of the dream catcher, too, Emily.
I love it. I love it. Well, Emily's got a couple of different questions, Cindy. So firstly, you know, she tends to talk to a lot of family members and people who have passed a lot. And, you know, she's a little bit, you know, concerned with, like, you know, at what point, like, if they choose to come back, if they're reincarnated, does that just mean that they're just forever just not there to talk to anymore? So she's got a little bit of a reincarnation question there. But also, and I think the more pressing of the two questions, is that she's having a little bit of issues with her 7-year-old son. She kind of thinks that something is going on at school, and it's taking its toll on his, you know, on his overall demeanor. And recently, he stopped eating, you know, and that's the way that whatever is troubling him is manifesting itself. So she wants to know if you have any insight as to what's going on with her son, how she could help, and yeah. And just letting you do your thing and taking it from there. So here we go, out to Florida, and we're going to speak to Emily. Hello, Emily, you're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Emily.
Thank you.
Yes, that's a good question.
Explained that so beautifully.
She's the best. That's why she's like the front person here, because she really sizes up everything. She's like this great mind and just knows how to cut to the chase and get it down to where people can understand what you're asking. I'm so glad you called in. Now, most, you know, a lot of times our family members or the people that we talk to and watch over don't reincarnate until we come back. And we come up only during extreme times, like after World War II and 80 million people, 60 to 80 million people. Again, they don't know how many numbers of people that were actually killed during that period of time. I don't know how you lose 20 million people, but 30 million immediately reincarnated as baby boomers within a period of from 1945 to like 1960. That's a very unusual time in history. But for the most part, people stay up until we come up. Sometimes if it's been someone like a great grandmother that's been watching us since we're born, maybe as we get older, 50, 60, 70, they may be coming down, and we kind of sense at that point that something's changed, they're not there. But for the most part, it looks like your relatives will stay up there. Have you gotten any signs from your husband's father yet from the other side?
Not yet, he was not good to Chris. So after he passed, I spoke to him in my head, and I gave him my 2 cents. So I don't know.
But they
they
had reconnected, hadn't they, and gotten together better for a little bit?
They did reconnect, and they were better for a little bit, but then they went back to treating Chris the way that they did his whole life, and Chris decided, well, I'm not signing up for that again, and, you know, just didn't want to be a part of being treated poorly, so.
Right, and I would say, I don't think, you know, his father's permitted down on earth or anything from what I could tell. You know, he's not going to be visiting in your household anytime soon, you know.
Okay.
And I don't think he's a very good communicator as of yet. I do hear him saying he's sorry, but we'll take that with a grain of salt. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now with your son, you know, he hasn't expressed anything to you what's bothering him about school?
He hasn't. And we try really hard. We ask him all the time. Chris picks him up every day from school and asked him, how was your day? What did you do at recess? If he had gym that day, what did you do at gym? And we try, you know, to get him talking, but he'll say, oh, I don't remember. And especially if he played with somebody at recess that we know is not good for him, then he'll just, you know, say, oh, I don't remember. I can't remember what I did. And we're like, okay, you know, but we do know that there is a classmate that he likes to think is his friend, but is not. Like, he lies to him a lot and tries to put scary thoughts in his head. Like, there was one time for like a week they were playing this game, which was scaring Chase, that he couldn't even sleep. He would wake up during the night and be scared. And then we found out that 'cause we don't
do video games, we found out that the game that they were reenacting was this game called Doors, which is very scary. And we, you know, put a stop to it. We spoke with the teacher and we told him, you know, you're not allowed to play that. And it was like he was up for like a week, like barely sleeping. So, you know, this
all paralleled now with Halloween, which can be scary for kids. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't.
Yeah. So this was actually before, this was like in like September.
Okay. And now how did your son deal with Halloween scary stuff?
He generally does not like it.
That's what I would say.
Especially like older people that wear scarier costumes and stuff. Like when we're out trick-or-treating, we just kind of like, we try to go earlier to, you know, kind of stay away from that crowd.
Yeah, because I could see he doesn't like anything scary.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to make sure, like, you know what he watches on television. And also the problem this time of year, also it makes kids a little scary is, like, I remember when I was first divorced and living in my own co-op by myself, and I would be watching something very nebulous on television. I mean, I don't have basic, you know, cable. I didn't even have anything. But in between the shows that I'd be watching, they had these scary horror things about the horror movies that were coming out on Halloween. I'd be like,
okay.
I didn't want to watch them. I'm living alone. I don't want to see these horrible things, because it would be late at night, like 11 o'clock, I'd be watching TV. And I'd be like, why are they putting these on? I'm watching like a night show, not this. So I think this time of year for him, just sometimes on television, there's scary stuff. And he is a little, you know, he is a kind of kid that doesn't really like the horror and scary stuff. He is still talking to that kid a lot at school. And, you know, and I think that might be part of the problem. But, and I think it might have triggered some of his other trauma from the past.
Okay. We were wondering about that. Okay.
That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
I think the kid brought up something a little bit inappropriate, I would say. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Right.
I have a feeling that that child's parents are inappropriate in the home with the kids. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So there's something definitely off, okay? And I think it's bothering him and troubling him. I think your son likes this kid and doesn't like him. It's kind of like a love-hatey thing that goes on. And, you know, if I were you, I would request next year that the kid is not in the same class, that your son's not in the same class with this kid.
Okay.
So, I mean, that could help
a
little
bit. Will definitely do that.
I mean, I don't think there's anything major trauma that's going on there. I just think it's stirring up some stuff. And, you know, your son's a sensitive kid. And, I would maybe see if you could talk to the teacher a little bit, because has she mentioned that your son seems a little more timid in class or anything?
Not really, but that's good to know. If he's kind of going into a shell, is that what you're
saying,
like, in terms of timid?
Yeah, if he's being timid in class a little bit, you know, being scared. Now, the not eating, how bad is the not eating? I mean, is he just eating less but still eating?
So he's coming, well, to be fair, he's coming off of, he did have a stomach flu last week, but it was kind of starting a little before that, and now he'll request food. Excuse me, we're all coming off a cold also. He'll request food, we'll prepare it, give it to him, it will sit there, and then he'll almost be like, he'll look at the plate of food and he'll make a face almost like he's afraid of it, kind of like move away from it, and then he'll be like, you know what, I changed my mind, can I have this instead? So then we'll go get him something else to eat, and he'll do the same thing, and he's like barely eating.
Okay, because
that's what concerns me is his reaction. His physical reaction is like he's afraid of the food, and that's what scares me.
Yeah, I think whatever this kid talked about triggered your son's past trauma here.
Okay.
You know
that's
what I mean?
That's good to know, because we can comfort him.
Right, of course.
Of course.
And again, I'm glad that your son physicalizes some of the stuff that goes on, because then you know when something's been triggered. Like, he's actually a good kid that way. Like, he can't, he tries not to talk to you about it, but then he shows you in other ways what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so
yeah,
and that's his way of communicating to you and
okay.
letting you know he's not right inside.
Okay.
You know, and remember, children are watching all kinds of stuff that they should not watch. There's some people, they don't have any kind of parental checks on iPad, and the kids are seeing all kinds of stuff from porn and everything else they should not be looking at.
That's
and,
my concern with his friend. For some reason, your voice was in my head because I had a reading with you many years ago where you said some parents make their kids sit down and watch porn, and I just kept hearing your voice, and that's my concern.
And even if they don't
sit
down and watch, it's that they don't know what their kids are looking at.
Okay,
and
then
they
might just be looking at it.
And
yeah.
then, because they don't realize that iPad, if you just type in, like say you want your child's 7 and he wants to get a Superboy costume, and you type in Superboy, but you spell Superboy wrong, it's going to come as porn. Okay?
Okay.
And so, you know, sometimes the children are just being exposed too young to things that kind of creep them out. You know,
mm-hmm.
inappropriate things. And also, a lot of people have HBO and shows that, you know, really kids shouldn't be watching.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
you know, the parents aren't even watching that the kids are flicking through these stations and seeing stuff that really should not be seen.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I think your son is just physicalizing that, you know, something has upset him. It looks like it will pass, too. But just toss him. Also, he did just have
mm-hmm.
a stomach virus, so the combination of things is probably just creeping him out. You know what I mean? Like, but he looks like he'll be fine. And you know,
okay.
just
thank
talk
you.
To him. I know you're very
yeah.
good parents, and you're very attuned and very aware.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's unfortunate. You know that so much of when children go to school, they are exposed to so much and.
Yes.
You know, and it's just, it's a little bit awful. And even like when I was a children's entertainer, certain parents wouldn't want their children to watch certain TV shows. Maybe they were kind of violent or, you know, superhero shows that were very violent. And, you know, their kids would know all about the shows because their friends told them all about it. Like the parents couldn't believe how much the kids knew about the shows without watching them. I go, well, the friends tell them, you know what I mean? So, even if you don't want your child to watch a certain show, they'll find out about everything from the from their peers. So, you know, I don't see anything you have to be overly concerned with. Is your son still in therapy at all?
No, not at the moment. But we could do that again. Absolutely.
Just see what, I wouldn't do it unless, you know, this doesn't pass in the next
okay.
few weeks. Because, you know, I don't want... you know, him to feel like even re-traumatized by having to go to a therapist again or whatever. So,
mm-hmm.
but if it
yeah.
doesn't pass, I would say, see if you can find one that, even if they do the telehealth kind of thing now, so he doesn't have to really leave the house to do it, but he might need someone
mm-hmm.
to talk to a little bit.
Okay.
And
yeah,
I'm so glad you called in. And how is Florida? How are you liking it? Cause you,
oh, we love it. Yeah, we love it. It's nice and warm. And yeah, we're still kind of getting settled. We don't have a house just yet. We're still renting. But we love it. We're really glad we made the change. It was the right move for us.
Right. And again, you know, just wait a little bit because those house prices will go down. You know.
That would be great. Yes.
You know, hang in there a little longer. But I'm glad you called in. I was thinking about you earlier today. That's why I think it's funny when you called in.
Aww.
I must have heard you saying, I'm calling in today.
Right? That's great. Yeah, well, I love you so much, and I'm just so grateful to you. I've grown so much over the years because of you. Thank you.
And also, I've known you a long time, right? How long have I known you now?
So Chase is 7. The year before he was born is when I went to see you because we – we're trying to get pregnant and we couldn't get pregnant. And you said you were going to get pregnant this year on your own, naturally. And you were right.
And
I've been going to you ever since.
Right. And that's so funny because I'm always, I've told this to so many people and they're like, and one time I did a psychic party last year and this little 3-year-old runs up to me, you know, when I knock on the door and says, you predicted me. I'm your baby.
Aww. I believe it.
And that's why, you know, just sometimes if people get the fear of conceiving, because that seems to be what's in this climate, because, you know, we live in a world that just wants you to spend money on things you don't necessarily need to spend on and get you fearful about pregnancy. And meanwhile, you just relax, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling. I hope you feel better.
Thank you. I feel so much better. Now we know to comfort him on the past traumas. So that's wonderful. Thank you.
And it was just something triggered. So I think the kid brought up something, said something. I wouldn't probe too much or even make too big a deal about it, because I don't think I think your son doesn't want the kid to get in trouble. So,
okay.
And I think it's, you know, so maybe if you don't make too big a deal of it, I think your son will be happier. Then he'll be able to tell you when something troubles him and yet no big consequences happen over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I plan to reassure him that he's a good person, because a lot of times he starts, when that trauma comes up, he believes he's not a good person, and I'm going to reassure him that he's safe and sound and everything that happened is in the past, and, you know, he's safe.
Right, and he just doesn't want to feel like he's going to get that friend in trouble, because I think he likes the kid. Sometimes he doesn't like him because, you know, he tells him stuff he wish he wouldn't tell him, but he likes him, so he doesn't want to get him in trouble. So, you know, keep that in mind too.
Okay. We'll reassure him that whatever.
Because then he'll never want to tell you anything if he thinks he's going to get people in trouble.
Okay. That's good to know.
Because he's a very sensitive child, your son.
And yes, and he's very protective, especially of friends. Because if he's with his friends and somebody else comes up to bother them, like, he just jumps into action to protect his friends.
Well, yeah, so that's what I'm trying to tell you. He's going to protect them over himself and over you. You know, that's something, you know, I just want you to know that he won't trust you if he tells you something and it gets somebody in trouble.
Okay.
You know, so you can tell me, you know, what you tell mommy, if you don't want me to say anything, I won't, you know what I mean? Like, you know, because I don't think it's that big a deal, but if, you know, he feels like he could get his friend in trouble.
Okay.
You know.
Good to know.
He's a good kid. Well, thanks for calling in and have a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, it's really hard to be a parent, that's for sure, isn't it, Nicole? It's very hard to be a pet parent, a child parent. It's not easy. So we do have Pat in North Carolina. She has been in touch with me. Nicole, are you there and maybe want to say what this one's about? I don't know if she's still in the chat room. Okay, I can't get Emily. For some reason, I can never get mute people. So maybe Nicole will do that. Okay. And I'll try to pick up Pat.
And they still don't know what the problem is. But the only
Hello,
thing they can
I'm
do is
I'm getting in. I'm getting in this chat room because we're ready for Pat. So
did you just steal my call?
I just stole your call. Okay.
You just stole my damn call.
I did steal it. So I did because Emily's done, and I can't, you know, I can't mute any. You know, I can't mute anybody for some reason. This HB computer is a riot because, you know, last year on Zoom when I went on Zoom, all of a sudden the camera wouldn't work. It thinks that the camera. I have a camera that you push down. It's in the computer. Thinks it's blocked, and I spent hours with HB trying to fix it, and they couldn't fix it, and then the next day it's fixed. I don't know how, so I don't know how it was fixed. But now I went on Zoom, and it did it again. So I don't know how to fix it. I don't know why it does it, but Zoom must have some kind of a virus that gets in this particular HP. You know what I mean? But I'm like, I'm going to spend 8 hours with HP, which won't be able to fix it, and then somehow it'll get fixed. I don't know how. But, I mean, imagine that they didn't actually fix it, so no one knows why it does it or why it doesn't do it. It's like, these are the frustrating things about computers, aren't they? So it's the same thing with this computer. I don't know why I can't mute people with it. I have no idea. It's odd.
It is voiding the mute button.
Yep, I don't know. So now, Nicole, why don't you sum up a little bit about Pat
and then Pat can,
all right,
can talk for herself.
Well, for the callers who don't know Pat, Pat is calling us from North Carolina. And she's had a lot of really, really heavy happenstances around her. You know, she's had a lot of death, a lot of, you know, tragedy. And, you know, all in the past year, her husband's boss passed away suddenly, wound up being of cancer. Young guy down the block, young kid down the block was killed over pot, you know, so.
What do you mean killed over,
you know,
pot?
Well, him and his buddy were selling it, and they sold it to the wrong person, and he wound up getting himself shot 4 times. So, yeah, and she also had the anniversary of her own son's death recently as well. So with all of this around Cindy, you know, she's, you know, the main thing that's concerning her right now is, you know, she still has a lot of worry for her grandson. She wants to know if he's going to find his way. You know, is he going to go back to college? You know, he's dating a girl. She seems to be nice. You know, where is that going? And when can Pat kind of open up her eyes and start to get a little bit of light amongst all of this darkness? So here we go. Out to Pat.
Okay. Pat. All right. Now, first of all, unfortunately, Pat, you're getting older, and, you know, this thing with people dying and death is not going to get less and lessened for people as we get older. And somehow,
yeah, but they're younger people.
To,
that's the sad thing.
That's the sad, yes, of course. And that, and again, with, you know, with the drugs, with the pot, with the stupid stuff, I mean, this is crazy, okay? And, you know, I feel for you because, you know, you've had a lot of other deaths besides these people in this last year, you know, going on and surrounding you. But try to focus on your family more and, you know, don't take all the pain of the world onto you because it can be overwhelming. And really, and you're an empath. I don't know if you know that. You feel energies. And that's why these things really get to you deeply. And, you know, with Christopher, and his, you know, your son likes the girlfriend, your son on the other side.
Oh,
likes
she
her.
Seems like a great girl.
He likes her a lot, you know,
cool.
Says that, you,
cool.
That, you know, she believes in him too, you know, and
mm-hmm.
She is encouraging him to go back to school. She's not discouraging
that's what
that.
I thought.
You know,
yeah.
She just thinks that, you know, he's very smart and, you know, Chris is just a little afraid because of the experience he had. You know, remember he was traumatized by his dad's death, and then he, you know, the college was hard for him. But is he thinking of doing it online or school close by?
He wants to do it online because he feels more comfortable doing it online than being in the classroom.
Right, because that's the wisdom of COVID. It gives people some flexibility and even allows people to work at a job and then be able to do school because the hours are more flexible on it, and sometimes you don't even have to be at classes a certain time. It's much more flexible. He's just afraid he's not going to do well, and he will, but he's scared. I think the only thing that's standing in his way is he's afraid he's going to, you know, not do well. So,
I keep trying to encourage him and telling him that he's a very capable person.
Maybe not going
needs...
back full time is what his dad said.
No. He wants to work. But
right,
he wants
and take maybe
to do
one
it.
Or two classes at a time.
Right,
that's,
because
that's very doable for him. Like,
yeah,
and it, tell him it doesn't matter if it takes you 5 years or 6 years to get a degree. What difference does it make? You're 5 or 6 years older, but now you have a college degree. So rush
exactly.
Here. He's making money. He has a job, but even encourage
well,
him.
Well, no,
maybe,
right now he doesn't have a job.
Okay, now what
they
happens
fired
to
him
when he has?
Because they work on a point system.
Right.
And every month, Christopher has to take off to go to the doctor, get medication to help keep him level. And you take off, you get points against you. And he got too many points, and then they said he didn't punch in, and they said he had too many points, so they fired him, even though he was the best worker that they had.
Well, again, that's something you could maybe – is he collecting unemployment right now?
He's the paperwork is in. You know how you don't get paid the first week, then you
right.
Get paid like on the eighth day on. it's just the paperwork is just starting, you know, just started. So he got his paperwork in the mail to fill out what he has gone.
He has to clearly state, because, you know, if you don't clock in or they say you come in late or something, you know, those are grounds for not collecting unemployment, okay? But if he states that the points were because he went to visit, you know, his psychiatrist or his
I
doctor,
told him that.
That is, you know, sort of against the I forget what the law is, but it's for people with disabilities. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That violates that civil right there. So if I were your son, I would Google what that's called, and, you know, that he told them why he's doing it, and that he can produce doctor's
ADA compliance.
He gave doctor notes every time.
Okay, what's it called, Nicole? You know,
to the doctor, he came back
with a note. It's called ADA compliance. All employers are obligated to follow the Americans with Disabilities Act.
That's
and
right.
If sometimes that might mean that, you know, he's got doctor's appointments, he may have special needs, and things like that. So he might want to check in to make sure that he is a class that is covered under the American with Disabilities Act. And then, you know, he can probably go to the Department of Labor and make a complaint, you know, and
right.
say that he was penalized, you know, over something, but he's a protected class, and they fired him, and he's a protected class. So
exactly.
That is something that he definitely has to look into.
Right, and he should
put it
down in the unemployment.
Oh, I told him
as
that.
Well, and he can say that he can furnish doctor's notes, by the way, because they will ask for some kind of concrete proof, and he has that. You know what I mean? So, you know, it looks to me like it's also, you know, getting this is the kind of place when they got to start giving people a little more money, a raise. They tend to get rid of them. You know what I mean? Like, they don't want people to ask for more money. And
that's right.
And, if they say things like, well, he didn't clock in, those are violations that you don't collect unemployment for. Like if you come late, you can't collect unemployment. So I think they're looking for something to not pay it, but that's why he has to state his case. Because, again, it looks more like they want to get rid of him because he's taking time off, and they're going to nitpick and look for something else.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's what I told them.
Because they couldn't get rid of him because he went to the doctor, but they could say this. But if he shows a case that they were giving him a hard time when he went to do his doctor's appointment, that will go in his benefit. You know, and again, it goes through the claims examiner, who usually is the one that makes the decision. So if you make a nice case. And he was working there a long time, though. How long was he working there?
Yep. He was working there almost 2 years, I think.
I tell you, he's there 2 years. You know what I mean? It's not like he was there 2 minutes.
But that's what this company does.
Yes, yeah, so I can see that.
They don't
here.
Care. And they never gave, they're supposed to give a review, never gave a review to none of them. None of them get reviews.
Because they don't want to give any more money, ever.
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly. But they want the best workers and stuff, but they don't want to pay for them. And he always kept all the work that he had to do up to date and even beyond.
Right, of course.
And even his manager turned around and said, Christopher, he says, truthfully, you are a fantastic worker. I will truthfully tell you, don't make this your life.
Right. And,
now,
is he looking for something? He's going to look for something else, too, correct?
He's been applying because, as you know, everybody knows, you got to apply online.
Right.
No, you can't go anyplace. Nobody wants to take any applications unless you apply online. So he's been doing that, and he got the paper to fill out for unemployment of what he has been doing.
Good. And he'll keep doing that. And remember, Christopher doesn't like change, okay? And
no.
Good or bad. And so now this getting fired is a change that's probably going to trigger some of, you know, his OCD and his worries and all of that, okay?
He's over that.
Good. Good.
That they fired him because he was tired of being virtually picked on because every month having to go to the doctor and them giving him a hard time.
Yeah, I know.
He was tired of it.
Right. And it's not his fault because a lot of psychiatrists and they don't work except 9 to 5 hours. You have to go in that. they don't
exactly.
A lot of them do not have evening hours. So what are you going to do? You know, I mean,
and that was
the problem.
And they wouldn't. They didn't want to hear it. And his supervisor even told him, he says, just be prepared, Christopher. He says, yeah, I know, they're going to give me a hard time. It's, you know, whatever and stuff. But there again, I think with the girlfriend is definitely helping him, keeping him a little more grounded.
Yep. Yeah, and your girlfriend came from his father. We talk about on the show here how soulmate love comes from God and someone who died. Your son has brought this to Christopher because he thinks this is what Christopher really needed to help, you know, heal him in every way.
She actually called him. She graduated the year ahead of Christopher from high school. They went to school together. They knew one another. She called him.
Wow.
And they started going out. And she's already graduated college and everything. She is a stunt woman.
Wow. So she's
obvious.
This one's, you know why your son picked her then? Because Christopher lacks courage, okay? He has a lot of fears, and he needs courage. So he brought her a woman who's a stunt woman, you know?
Yeah.
Teach him a little courage.
Yeah.
You got
to
get
it. I can't wait to meet her.
Wow.
He hasn't brought her around yet. He's taking his time. But I can't wait to meet her because I'm just like a stunt woman. Wow.
Wow. And
that's,
you know,
amazing.
Your,
and
your son's
it's
getting
one,
quite a kick out of this, by the way.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that it takes time for you to get your name in with the right areas and stuff. And she had gone to a college up in Pennsylvania, and there's only like 3 colleges in the United States that do this. And that was one of the better ones of the 3. And I'm just like, wow. I remember you telling me also with my granddaughter that my son sent Eamon to Victoria.
Right, exactly. And see, he's busy up there. He doesn't want them to be afraid to love. And so he's bringing it when they're young and will overcome that fear of loving someone who could die on them. He was so afraid they weren't going to open their hearts to love. And look what he's done.
And
he's amazing.
I talk to him every day, and I keep saying, you got to guide him. You got to guide Christopher. I need your help. I can do just so much, but I need your help too. And seems to be he's hearing me. Really.
For sure. And I
and,
you know
go ahead.
And your son is wishing you a very happy Thanksgiving, by the way. And he will be
well,
down
we're gonna
on
be by ourselves because the mother is wanting them to go over to the beach. Which is all right. That's fine. I'm fine.
Right. And but your son will be with you.
Yep.
He's in, you know, he wants that. So, you know, he started
to cry
a
little bit.
He was
here the other day, actually.
Oh, he's always around you.
Because one of my cardinals that I have hanging in my window, near the table that he used to like to play with the light above that table. Remember how I used to tell you how it would turn on and off and all this stuff?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
The cardinal fell out of the window the other day.
Wow.
And I'm just like, whoa. That's really weird. And today, my beautiful red cardinal was at the bird feeder in my kitchen window.
Aww.
It was here today. And I was just like, wow. But unfortunately, I moved. Of course, it got frightened. If I didn't move, I probably could have had it there longer and could have talked to it more. But I'm just like, unbelievable, really. And it's like, wow. And it's crazy. And my husband is getting better after losing his buddy boss. He's coming around. They were very close.
Aw, I know. It's hard to lose someone you've known for a long time.
You know, and it just totally devastated my husband. Really. I haven't seen him cry like that in a long time. And he helped to contact people that had to be contacted for the boss's wife, but many times trying to tell the people what happened, and he'd start, and then I'd have to take the phone and explain to them what happened.
Aww.
But he helped his boss's wife with a lot of things regarding with the company and stuff, that she didn't have to handle it because she is more of a person that never did business things. She's a very quiet person, but just she never handled anything, not even checkbooks, not.
Well, that's something that people have to learn to do, okay?
Yes.
We can't be so dependent on someone that we don't know how to do our adult tasks. Because
yes.
You know, we don't do anybody a favor by having people not how to do anything. And also, you know, anyone who's listening, if you're guilty of that, learn how to do this stuff.
Because you have to.
You have to. You know, you can't
because
live in a world
you don't know if it's going to fall in on you.
Right. I mean, you know, sometimes people like that. They don't want to have any responsibility of it. But my clients that have been, you know, married and they didn't know how to do a check, they didn't know how to pay a bill, this is not good.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
No, it's not.
You have to learn these things,
mm-hmm.
You know.
And then what I did for my son, because I do it every year, I made his iced oatmeal raisin cookies. And Christopher's birthday was 3 days before his father's passing. So he was here. So Christopher ended up taking all those cookies home with him. Because he liked them, and I also made blueberry muffins for my son and my husband's boss because it was a month. My son's was the 13th, and his boss was the 14th, and that was a month since he passed away. So I made muffins, and I gave muffins to his boss's wife. Then my husband took muffins in to people that were very concerned about my husband because the company was very concerned because they saw how bad he looked.
Aww.
So I made muffins for people at the company and stuff so they could have them. And also the young boy that was killed, I sent muffins down to their house because
oh, cool.
She had known that my son about because we were texting back and forth, and she said something, and I said, well, Monday the 13th is 4 years for my son. She says, oh, my God, and here you're trying to help me, and you have this coming up. I said, no. This is time for you right now.
Oh,
we have to help you through this. So I sent muffins down there and stuff, and we did food, and you know, we did a whole bunch of stuff for them, like twice a week.
And keep doing things like that. That really does a lot to comfort people when they're going through so much.
Exactly. And even my husband, even though he didn't want to take all the muffins, he like he was a bakery delivery man because I put him in nice boxes and everything, and he delivered them, but he actually enjoyed it.
Wow.
He enjoyed doing
it. It feels good to you know, help other people. Like, you can't just sit in your grief.
No.
You have to get
exactly.
out and
exactly.
do, just try to get some rest. I would advise you to do what we always talk about here, a little joy therapy. Like, that was joy
therapy.
Well,
I did two classes of yoga today.
Yep. See, these are the things that bring joy, do joy, because we can't sit in our grief all the time because it's just too much, you know.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm so glad that you called in and, you know, let us know what's going on. I do believe Christopher will get something fairly soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got to make sure he does his unemployment correctly.
I told him that.
This company doesn't like to pay unemployment. And they know what they can say that will make it so that, you know, they don't have to pay.
And I told him, make sure, I said, if anything comes across and they want to know anything, you make sure that they know that they made your life miserable and they made it very uncomfortable when you had to take doctor's time off to go to the doctors for your health.
Right.
I said, you have to make sure that's in there. I
right.
said, don't not. And I told them, every paper that you fill out for unemployment, you have to make copies of.
Right,
you keep copies of everything.
Wow.
I said, and it will be fine. I don't know if they're going to be giving him a hard time for the fact that he got the paper in the mail to fill out for what.
Yeah, it's kind of standard. Again, saying you didn't do something like sign in can be grounds for them not to give, but, you know, they always look for something if you come 1 minute late. Coming late is a thing that people don't have to pay unemployment if you come late. You know, there's certain things that they just look and they know. But also, this place has been around a while. And
yes, it is.
And they tend to fire people quite frequently.
Quite often.
So you know, as a claims examiner, they kind of know, okay, they kind of have a feeling for these places already, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times if the claims examiner has seen enough of these, like, nonsense firings, they're pretty good at giving the claim because they realize this company is, you know, has a reputation for, you know, firing people for no reason.
Right.
I mean,
and they do.
In New York, you can fire anyone for any reason other than discrimination, but you have to give unemployment.
Right. But see, North Carolina has the right to work state, and there's a lot of other stupid things, and I'm just like, whatever. But you are right, the company has been around for a long time. It's Ludwig Percussion. They're all over the world. But
right.
It's like you, it's the same thing. They just look for reasons to fire people. There's a poor person that's going through chemo for cancer. They're actually giving this person a hard time.
Oh,
the person's going through enough already, and you're going to give them a hard time now?
Well, that's why I said it. You think this is not the only people. They've probably been firing people that were sick all along. So, you know, after a while, it just doesn't work in the benefit for these companies. So I'm glad that you called in because I think there's a lot of people in a similar situation where they feel like, I don't know, I've got fired for no reason. Is there any recourse? Yes, there is. Well, anyway, we're at the end of our show. So
I will let you, little lady. Everybody, please have a very nice Thanksgiving. Stay safe. Enjoy. And just enjoy.
Right, for sure.
That's all you can really say.
Wow. That's such a good sentiment for tonight. Well, good night for now.
Good night. Everybody, stay safe. And thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, Nicole, so we've got a little bit of rounds of things, you know, tonight, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, from scary entities in a house to scary employers, which is the worst, isn't it? You know, that's what I'm glad I work for myself, but these people, this is just crazy. And you know what? There aren't a lot of good workers nowadays, so these companies are really foolish. You know, after a while, you're going to get a bad reputation. Not going to be any good workers at all. But, you know, it's sad. You know, just sometimes it just makes me crazy with these companies. I don't know what they're doing. You know,
no.
I
don't think they know what they're doing, Cindy.
Nope, me neither. So you'll let us know, like, what happens with your work. It looks like to me they're going to, you know, you'll be back and making some money and... you know, by next year, in the year of the Dreamcatcher, it looks like your dreams will come true of you being able to just work for yourself and not, you know, have to and have maybe a little part time, but basically be working for yourself.
Well,
which is definitely
keeping
your
my fingers crossed, Cindy.
I know it's definitely your goal, right?
Yep.
Well, good night, everybody. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll be back the week after that. And, you know, just like Pat said, enjoy. That's the most important thing. Just try to find something that you can enjoy.
Yep. And happy Thanksgiving to you, Cindy, as always. You've done a wonderful job. And, yeah, that's it. So happy Thanksgiving to all. And to all a good night.
That's what I was just going to say. Just going to say that. We're on the same page. Okay. Good night.
I love it. Good night.